Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome everybody back to the New Cyber Frontier. I am Sean Murray. Today I will be the host. We welcome our special guest all the way from ISSA International, the newly elected vice president for the association, Deb Peinert. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you, Sean.
Well, being newly elected to a position where you've actually been involved at the board of directors at ISSA International, you've had a lot of contributions. I've had the opportunity to work with you over the years as well, but your contributions go way back in this industry. Can you give us a little bit about your background, how you came up, and where your passion lies today?
Yeah, sure. My degree is in computer science in the College of Education. So I am was going to teach. And when I actually didn't find a job teaching, I interviewed and I actually started in information security as my first job, which I know is very unusual. The title was still systems programmer on a mainframe, but the department was data security at the time. So that might tell you a little bit about how long I've been in the profession. So mainframe and data security. So since then, I've been in a lot of different fields, industries, from finance to consulting to entertainment. Worked at Paramount Pictures for a while to retail. Was kind of the last big group of jobs that I had was more about retail and PCI security. And now I am retired. I still do some consulting. I work with the volunteer for the ISSA International Board. I help out a little with the Denver Board, and I'm also on the ISSA Education Foundation Board.
You know, that's interesting. So a lot of practitioner experience. It's funny because most people will say those who can't do teach, but you actually did it reverse. Those who didn't find the opportunity to teach went out and did, right? So mainframes, wow. There's not too many of us left that actually spent a lot of time on the mainframes. It's a diminishing skill set for that type of technology, but various types of industry, so lots of experience. Where do you think, information security, what we refer to as cyber security, has evolved from? I mean, back in the day when we were, crunching on mainframes, it really wasn't about security, was it?
Well, I did start in security, but it was really about, just authentication and access controls. And really, that's pretty much it, is in a nutshell. That's a lot of what I did. I, integrated then our security system with the change control system, which is a lot harder to do these days with all the different platforms. So it was a lot of fun back then. But then I remember a number of years later working and we had brought in our first firewall, and it was not even in the security department. It's networking. So I'm like, wait, I want to learn. So, I'm like, okay, out there trying to learn how to do the firewalls. And so my first kind of step outside of the mainframe and AS400 systems back then. And from then it just, obviously it grew to all the different servers and platforms, and now security software and networking software. And
how much experience did you have? Did you do anything with the RACF or top secret when it came to security with the mainframes?
I did. I was an expert with RACF and top secret. I managed a group of people that did the top secret, but by that time I wasn't really doing the technical stuff at that point.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that the concepts are still around. IBM is probably the dominant leader. We do some training with senior bank examiners at FDIC, and IBM being the dominant one, some others, Unisys and Hitachi. Azure actually just entered into the space over the last year, where you have cloud-based applications acting as mainframes. Let's go fast forward. What are the challenges? You worked in multiple industries where, you talk about PCI, DSS, you talk about the financial, you talk about retail. What are the similar challenges that you faced that allowed you to learn more about how to apply some of these concepts as you grew into that position? We're going to actually have that conversation right after we get back from a word from our sponsor.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to the New Cyber Frontier. My name is Sean Murray. I am your host today. We have a special guest, Deb Peinert. She is the newly elected Vice President for ISSA International. We're talking a little bit about her background and various industries that she's worked in. And one of the things we were looking at getting her perspective on are the various industries that you've worked in, Deb. What similarities or what challenges did you see that have evolved into different types of challenges in your perspective? How has that changed over the years?
I think that to me, the challenges were, quite the same. I went from some bigger industries or companies to smaller companies. When you go to retail, what I struggled more with would be management buying into security. So you kind of had that at the big companies as well, like insurance and financial institutions. But over time, they were buying more and more into it because they had to. There was more regulations and just more data breaches and all that. So then you go to retail, and they never had the budget for security. So now all of a sudden you're trying to tell them how much money you need, which is they just weren't willing to at the time put that money into it. Now since then they've had a lot of breaches in retail, so they are putting more money into it. And also, I think one of my personal challenges, because I'm so passionate about security and making things as secure as we can, is when management wants to accept the risk. So like, let's say, and this is say years ago when PCI first came out, management wanted to accept the risk of not being compliant with PCI. So they're willing to pay fines or and willing just to accept the risk of not being as secure as they should be.
So when we talk about risk, right, because at the end of the day, it's really about risk. And, you talk about culture. That's really what it is. An organization's willingness to accept risk, even when you don't even understand the scope of that risk. What do you think about some of the new legislation today? Do you think that is giving leaderships within organizations a better perspective of, hey, this is what the compliance terrain looks like, and hey, here's the ramifications financially? I mean, you look at GDPR, 4% of your gross profits, and if it's flagrant, leaders of organizations can't say, well, I'm the CEO now, I didn't know. They're not allowed to do that anymore. They can be held criminally liable. Do you think that's pretty compelling to, to the industry today to get that culture that we were looking for maybe 10, 20 years ago?
I think so. I think there's still a something between the compliance and security. So, I mean, you can still be in compliance and still not be as secure as you maybe should be. You can still be in compliance with PCI or GDPR or any of the other laws and regulations, and then all of a sudden there's a breach. It doesn't mean you're totally secure, and people don't really, I don't think corporations really understand that yet.
Yeah, it's aligning our business practices with those risky areas and then taking a look at what the security maturity looks like, I think, right? So, you know, your contributions to ISSA, how have you seen ISSA evolve over the years? Can you give us some background? When did you first join the board and you know, to where you're at today? What are the challenges strategically for an international organization that focuses on information cybersecurity? You know, what have you seen evolve over the years?
Well, so I started on the ISSA International Board in 2000, between 2000 and 2004. They had specific positions at the time. I was director of education. So focusing, and again, that matched up with my background being my degree in education. And also just my personal wishes of wanting to give back to the industry and training people or advising people. So what I did is I helped put together the conferences back then, the ISSA conferences. I helped bring the ISSA CISO Executive Forum together and helped start that. I was on the spoke at in New York City at the White House Town Hall meeting at John Jay University on security and security awareness and education. And so what I think some of the, and there's a lot of other things, but from back then to now, I think where we still struggle with having the support out in the community. We have a lot of members and have a lot of member support, chapter support. That's awesome, which is what we do. But ISSA getting in on the national levels and international levels, we don't really have any insights to the White House or government and at that area, as far as the international organization goes. Maybe the chapters do, but we don't, and we did back then. There were all kinds of committees that working towards certain things, but again, when leaders leave those positions, for example, Howard Schmidt left the White House, so ISSA wasn't really invited to the table as much. And also at that point, I was no longer on the ISSA International Board. So between the two, I'm sure Howard brought other people back in other times, but it wasn't consistent. And so I think that's the challenge of ISSA being consistently up in the
influential, yeah.
Right. So, you know, that's, I think we need to still expand to really get people out there at that level. And that will help us internationally, and nationally. And then our chapters are awesome, though. I mean, we have a lot of chapters doing really well. They have a lot of great programs. And, you know, I mean, they have specific tracks. I was just at a Denver, I live in Denver, so I was at a Denver meeting, ISSA meeting. And, I mean, they have the Women in Security group that's doing really well. They have an oil and gas special interest group that's doing well. They're going to start a privacy group, which I'm sure will do well. And, you know, so I know other chapters have a lot of those kinds of things going on, and it's, you know, just an awesome organization to be a member of.
You know, you hit a little bit on the special interest group of women in cyber, women in security. And, you know, this is traditionally one of those areas where we usually don't see a lot of women leaders, but we're starting to see a significant amount of women coming to the table and contributing in those areas. You're one of the folks here in Colorado, up in the Denver area. We've got our previous past president down here in Colorado Springs, Colleen Murphy. Both of you are heavily engaged in that arena. What do you think the contributions are that women can make You know, as in, especially for women such as yourselves who are in former leadership positions, what's your contribution to the community for women? What would you say to women as far as what are the resources available to help women succeed in this industry?
There are a ton of resources. I mean, again, ISSA is one. The ISSA Education Foundation I mentioned earlier, we do scholarships for students in universities studying for cybersecurity or assurance type degrees. And we do have one scholarship named after Sean Harris, who was a leader in the ISC Squared CISSP training books. And unfortunately, she passed away a number of years ago. We have a scholarship named after her. And it has not been a women in security only scholarship up to this date, but we now have permission to change that to be a women in security. So that's one thing that we're doing is putting that aside for just women. You know, the strange thing is looking through the names of the past scholarship winners or awardees have been a lot of women. So in addition to that, I mean, there's lots of scholarships out there, but there are also other organizations that focus on the women's in scholarships. There's a lot of girls in from elementary school through high school that like Girls Go Cyber Start is another program that SAND started recently. And there's just a lot of girls organizations. I can't even think of them. Coding. There's a coding girls coding one. I can't even think of them off the top of my head right now, but there are tons.
Yeah, it's a great conversation, you know, cultivating it at a young age to include the Girl Scouts badge, Cyber Badge, and some of those other programs. You know, we're going to come back and we're going to talk to our guest, Deb Pinehart, Vice President at ISSA International. This is Sean Murray at the New Cyber Frontier. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsor. Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information. Welcome back to the New Cyber Frontier. I'm Sean Murray, our special guest today, Vice President for ISSA International, International Board of Directors Deb Pinehart. She's given us a perspective of, you know, over the last few decades of, you know, where she's come from, being a technologist and an academic and an educator and at heart. Contributions that you know, she and others have made in this industry, and we were kind of talking about you know, women in cyber, women in technology. You're starting to see more women in colleges, more women in STEM programs, more women in technology roles, and the contributions that we're seeing, you know, at the corporate 100, corporate 500 level are significant. And so, you know, one of the things you've touched on a few times here is, and some people know, but maybe not a lot do, is you're also the director of the ISSA Education Foundation, which is a separate organization to ISSA. And could you give us some history about the ISSA Education Foundation?
Yes. So the ISSA Education Foundation was actually founded in 2003. That's back when I was on the ISSA International Board of Directors. And it was approved to start this organization, and a number of our of the directors were going off at the time, off of the international board, and formed the Foundation board. So I've been on that board since 2003. Since then, we've given out, over 20 scholarships. Doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, we had to build up from, you know, zero until we do 3 scholarships of our own a year. And 2 of them are $3,500, one's $2,000. And then we also work with the ISSA chapters. If they're interested in having a scholarship in their area, they can determine an amount of money they want, and we will support them. We will run the program for them, and they just give us a certain amount of money. So for instance, we've been running two scholarships for the Alamo chapter for the past 2 or probably 3 years. And they give out, I think it's one is a $1,500 scholarship and a $500 scholarship. And they can determine if there's a certain area they want to focus on, a certain university, certain requirements that are different than the ISSA Education Foundation requirements. And so right now, those are the scholarships we have. We have other chapters that are looking to do some scholarships with us. And we have other chapters that don't want to even do that, and they just donate money and put it into the scholarships that we already have.
So what would be the process? So if I am one of the global ISSA chapters, and maybe I wasn't aware of this foundation, how would a chapter reach out to you and the foundation to either contribute or to participate in the program and maybe get some funds to support some of the things that they're doing at their local chapter level? What's some of the criteria? What would they do? What's that process look like?
Well, we do have a link on the ISSA website. If they follow that to the ISSAEF.org website, that's our website. And it tells all the different things you can do as an organization. You can donate as a chapter. There's a page that talks about chapter support, and it has a form that you can go to and fill it out, determine like the amount of money you want to spend. And if you're going to hold your own scholarship, determine where or what levels you want it to be at. And you send the form directly to us at scholarships@ISSAEF.org, I believe is the email address for that. But, you know, people start off, they contact me because they've heard me talk about it, and I just point them in the right direction. I contacted, you know, different people just to remind them about who we are. I spoke at the chapter leaders meeting, ISSA chapter leaders meeting, to tell them about, you know, who we are and what we do. And it did seem like a lot of people weren't aware of us. So, you know, but just contact me is a good way to start.
And your information is on the ISSA International website. So that's a great way to start. For what if I wanted to contribute? Is there any criteria? How would I contribute? Can I be an individual contributor? Do you accept resources from organizations or companies as well? I wanted to participate like that?
So currently, outside of the chapters, we do have corporate donors that have given us money, that continue to give us money on an annual basis. And they just we have a number of different people that work on it. I actually work with some of the companies. Again, if you go to our website, all of our directors' email addresses are out there. Our president, Pat Myers, you know, contact any of us, and we can help you out with a corporate donation. Other ways to donate is personally. So you can go out to the website again, and via PayPal, you can donate that way. On the ISSA membership site, when you become a member or renew, there's a box that you can actually donate whatever amount you'd like to. And so other ways that you can donate without, you know, giving us $20 or $100, you can always use Amazon Smile. If you use Amazon Smile to buy all your purchases, they give, I think it's 1%. To the organization of your choosing. So if you chose ISSA Education and Research Foundation is the name on there. So I always use Amazon Smile, and the foundation gets a little bit of money back from Amazon. Another opportunity coming up is Giving Tuesday. You know, we always put out something about Giving Tuesday and accept donations that way, or, you know, because it's Giving Tuesday or any other time. Another one is Giving Assistant. And there's, it's a shopping thing that you can, again, use the ISSA Education Foundation, and it gives some money to us. I actually don't have much experience with that, but it is another way that we have set up.
What about estate planning?
Good question. We are now looking into that and are getting the right wording. And we had somebody ask us at the ISSA Summit, annual summit this year in Dallas, about that. And so we are now looking into that.
Yeah, that's a great way to, you know, for those to leave a little bit of their own legacy behind and contribute back to the ISSA Education Foundation as well. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, the foundation, how it got started, some of the things that you're doing, the way people can contribute, you know, how chapters can use some of those resources. What's the overall strategy moving forward? Where would you like to see the Education Foundation, say, in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I'd like to see them giving additional scholarships and each one of them being more money. I'd like to have we really need to improve our program on how we get our information out to the universities and the students. I think that's one thing that we've struggled with. Again, we are all volunteers. We have absolutely no staff other than maybe a little ISSA staff helping us once in a while. So it's all just us volunteers trying to run this organization. So we're still trying to get better processes in place for notifying universities or the right people and getting more applicants. And that's just nationally. Internationally, we have some applicants, but we still aren't as good as getting the word out internationally. So that's a big challenge for us in the next couple of years.
Well, you know, I think there's an opportunity here. So, you know, as a global membership organization, you know, and you hit on it, it's a volunteer organization, especially if you're serving on a board or a committee, either at the chapter level or even at the international level. There's opportunities for our members to come back and contact you to contribute time if they can't do it monetarily. You know, some of these initiatives that you talk about, such as outreach to the universities, outreach to government and community programs. You are a 501c3, that's correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So the contributions, you know, just volunteering time, either at the chapter level or contacting you know, someone at the Education Foundation yourself, for instance. You know, how many, do you have limitations on volunteers? I can't imagine that you do.
No, not at all. We'd love to have more volunteers. In fact, I would love to see some volunteers. What we also, another thing we need to do better at is getting the stories of our past recipients. We don't have all the stories. I know about people, but I don't really have a written story to tell. And I think that would be awesome to be able to send those stories out to organizations to have them, you know, to solicit for donations.
Yeah, and it'd be able to share, right? And
yes.
One of the other things that I know that you do, you know, the Colorado Springs chapter of ISSA, one of the top five chapters in the association. Denver's actually the top. It's got the most membership. I know that you attend a lot of the local chapter events and you set up a booth for the foundation as well. There might be an opportunity for a chapter to, you know, maybe contact the ISSA Education Foundation organization itself and perhaps set up in coordination with you folks at their big chapter events. I know Rowley has a big event. Atlanta has a big event every year. We've got a couple of great strong chapters in California that run big events. Chicago runs a big event. So additional contributions, just reaching out to the chapters, reaching out to our members and Number one, educating them as, hey, this is a resource that's available, and there's multiple ways to contribute, either through volunteerism or through monetary means.
Right, absolutely.
Well, Deb, it's been great having you on the New Cyber Frontier. Any parting words for the general public or for our ISSA members?
Well, just to keep doing what you're doing, and let's make the information security, cybersecurity stronger, and the internet safer for all users.
Yeah, well said. Well, thank you so much. This is Sean Murray on the New Cyber Frontier. Our guest today has been Deb Peinert. She is the Vice President for ISSA International, and she is also the Director over the ISSA Education Foundation. Thank you so much today, Deb.
Thanks, Sean.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved with what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.